to the Jeff Force Show at Talk 106.5. Thanks for staying with us on this Tuesday morning. 251-343-0106. Hit us up on that text line. I'll get to your text. Like I said, we're wide open to that 10 o'clock hour, so we will further our discussion then. Still to come on the program, by the way, Alabama Republican Party Chairman John Wall, our Tuesday regular, so stay tuned for that. Joining us now on the line, he's usually on every other Monday, but we had to move some things around. We're always grateful he can make time for us, but State Representative Shane Stringer is on the line. Representative, good morning. How are you?
Hey, doing great, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Hey, thanks for making time. Well, back to the state of Alabama here, I guess, for a few moments, but let's talk about this. And you and I talked kind of offline about this last week a little bit and what's going on. The criminal behavior, criminal activity in some of Alabama's big cities, primarily Montgomery is what we're looking at. Reed Ingram, Will Barfoot are looking at some kind of mechanism that would create a situation like an accountability act we have for the public schools, that if you are at a certain point with your policing in your municipality, then the state will kind of come in, put it in like a receivership or something, and run your department till it gets put on the right foot. And I don't know if you had a chance to look at some of the bill or the legislation that's been filed. We've had Barfoot on. We've had Reed Ingram on. And you and I talked a little bit about this concept, but now that it's sort of evolving, I mean, what do you think? Is there a better solution to Montgomery than what they have?
I've not had a chance to look at the bill, but I have spoken with Senator Barfoot about it and had a pretty lengthy conversation with him and some of the others up there. And, you know, they've got some good intentions, and they are absolutely working hard trying to find some solutions to what's going on in Montgomery. And, you know, they, of course, do not fall for the concept that Constitution carry had anything or has anything to do with Montgomery's problems. That they've just got some internal issues within the city that needs to be addressed, and they're trying to come up with ways. And in talking with them, I think there might be a path for what they're wanting to do, you know, which is basically when you got a city where the crime seems to be completely out of control or running rampant, that you go in and, you know, they're looking at sending in, you know, trying to find leadership for the police department, not just a, you know, temporary chief, but maybe a temporary chief and staff that would be able to go in there and kind of restructure the department and turn things around and get it going in the right direction. And, you know, I think their concept would work, because just replacing the chief or putting somebody like that in place is not going to be the solution, you know, because sometimes the problems is deeper than just the chief. And sometimes the issues you have, you know, you've got loyalty that lies there with the chief and his staff and the ones under him. So sometimes it takes more than just that change. And that's what they're looking at and considering. And that, you know, this would be like a temporary measure or whatever. And truthfully, kind of like a worst case scenario measure to go in and address these concerns and issues. And, you know, and they pretty much feel the same way as I do, which is, you know, quit trying to blame everything on a gun or on the Constitution carry bill. Let's go ahead and, you know, call it what it is, man. It's a criminal problem, and let's address that. And if the current police leadership can't handle it, then something else has got to be done. And we can't sit back and let the citizens continue to be victimized and not do nothing.
Darrell Bailey, who's the district attorney up in Montgomery, I mean, he blamed, I mean, culturally, he put that on, you know, parenting and how much younger some of these gun violence perpetrators are getting. But the other thing he said, he put it on the legislature, and he didn't say constitutional carry. I thought it was kind of interesting that he wants to, like, raise the penalty for if you commit crime and you're using a firearm, if you're using a gun, then that would be an enhancement to the penalty, whatever that may be, for whatever crime you committed. And he says he's offered this, and the legislature's kind of shrugged it off. What do you make of that?
I totally agree with him. I think that's the way you address it. You address the problematic people. You know, I've had to remind people over and over, the Second Amendment is not a group right. It is not where, you know, a handful of thug individuals go out and cause problems and rob and steal and kill people, and so we take everybody's guns. The Second Amendment is an individual right. You take away when an individual does something that takes his rights away, his or her rights away. I've said all along, and pretty much all of the Republican legislature will say this, you know, let's enhance penalties, and not only enhance them, let's enforce these penalties, and let's take these people that are using firearms in crimes, and let's make mandatory sentences, or let's do some true sentencing. Instead of sentencing them and then to 10 years and then 6 months later, they're out of jail, you know, because in the name of jail overcrowding, you know, it's that has got to be addressed and dealt with. I agree with what he's saying. And, you know, I wouldn't say it's the legislature's problem or, you know, fault all in one, because that's not true. Because I know, like I said, most of the Republican legislature will tell you that, you know, instead of addressing everybody, let's put more harsher penalties on the ones that are doing it. Let's not only do that, but let's force them to stay in jail and prison until their sentences. And when there is actually consequences to their actions, then you will start to see things change and get better. Of course, until then, it's, you know, the old saying, it's going to be harder for a little while. We're going to have to address even more people in the prisons and you know, more correction officers and that kind of stuff. But the fact is, we cannot continue to let these inmates out early, regardless of the overcrowding in the prisons. We have got to find a way to address the problems within the prison system to address, you know, all of this. Every bit of this is multiple facets to this problem. There's not just one issue to the Montgomery violence crime or Mobile violence crime or anywhere else. It's lots of where you've got social issues, you've got community issues, you got police and community, you know, where we're lacking police officers and down on that, and morale of the police department and officers are down at times. So lots of problems and ideas, but we've got to find something to address it.
Well, where do we put, I mean, prison, jail overcrowding, prison overcrowding, a lot of this is, I it feels like it's forcing a lot of judges' hand here to look for ways to reduce these sentences, and it's not necessarily that the judges have, like, found some kind of religion in being, like, Alabama Appleseed's version of incarceration or whatever, but it just, you don't really have a place to put them if you stiffen the penalties, which you're probably right. I mean, it needs to happen. But then, like, what do you do with that person once they're convicted?
Well, you know, you're exactly right. But I'll tell you this, at the end of the day, like being in law enforcement, I am constantly reminding my officers that have worked for me over the years, when we make a case on somebody, we finally catch somebody that's been doing burglaries for 6 months, and you finally get enough evidence to charge them with one or two, and they go to court and they get down there and the court system's overcrowded, and, you know, the DA that's handling the case or the judge decides to minimize it or offer some kind of a plea deal to nothing, pretty much, and it's discouraging for the law enforcement officers. And, you know, from time to time, I'll hear a detective or an officer say, well, I'm tired of it. You know, I do my job, I do what I'm supposed to, and then they just let them out. Well, I remind them, I'm like, you continue to do your job. It is not your responsibility what the prosecutor or the judge does. Your job or the corrections, far as that goes, your job is to solve crimes and to take the cases before the courts. And that's what they do. And if we continue to do that, we're fine. it is up to, it's not the judge's problem to worry about the overcrowding in the jails. That is absolutely not in their purview. They need to stick to, you know, enforcing and judging these cases based on the evidence that's presented to them, and then take the appropriate steps based on what the law says they can. And then it's up to DOJ to handle it from, DOC to handle it from there.
Well, I've listened to prosecutors talk about this, and even some judges say, look, we gave them the sentence, but corrections and the bureaucracy that deals with, and I know Chris England and those guys are upset with the Pardons and Paroles Board or whatever, but a lot of times these guys are getting out, you know, they're finding ways to kind of navigate the system and get out early. And a lot of that's just, it's in the name of either overcrowding or just perhaps a bureaucracy that lends itself to these early release. Like, how do you, what do you do there?
You've got to have some checks and balances in place. I mean, there's got to be, when you get somebody that gets out of prison or jail before it's their time, and somebody, whether it be pardon paroles, whether it be corrections, you know, we dealt with that a couple of years ago where the officer was killed in North Alabama. April Weaver, Senator Weaver, brought a bill to address that, where they were giving, the corrections were giving these inmates ungodly amounts of good time to get them out of their jails or their prisons to take the stress and pressure off of them. There has to be checks and balances in place that holds somebody accountable when they do that. Whenever there's something that's not done proper or legal, we need to hold the right people in charge of those divisions, whether it be pardon and paroles, whether it be corrections, whatever the case is, we should be holding people accountable that's working this system to let these people out before their sentences are up. And until there's checks and balances to hold people accountable for their actions, I mean, and that goes for the people's running the prisons or running the corrections or, you know, running law enforcement or the courts. They, until there's checks and balances in place, you know, people are going to do what they can do to lighten the load on them or lighten the stress on them. And at the end of the day, you know, all of these jobs and positions are high stress, and typically they're pretty high paying. So, I mean, you have to take the good with the bad. And if you're willing to take this leadership role over corrections or over pardon and paroles or over a police department or the courts, you've got to be willing to take the responsibility that comes with that. And that's making sure that things are being done properly.
The other thing that Daryl Bailey talked about on Capital Journal is this, that there's a backlog that these judges are not getting to these cases. The backlog in the courts, the prosecutors are overwhelmed, the courts are overwhelmed. You talk about having a jury trial, and these are long sometimes, that there's just a backlog here, and that's a big part of this. Like, what do you do there, you think?
And I've heard that. I've heard it over the years, and I've seen it. I mean, that's when AOC and some of the different sources for revenue are going to have to step up and address the concerns and or the issues in some of these problematic areas like Montgomery. They're going to have to find ways, if they have to hire part-time, you know, judges and prosecutors to get this caseload caught up for the time being. We adapt and overcome. We have to do what it takes to keep our community safe, and we find ways to do it. I mean, the primary goal and focus of government, and whether it be on a local, state, or federal level, is to keep our community safe. Without safety and security, we have nothing. So we have got to find ways to do it. I mean, we can sit back and make excuses, and sometimes it's not excuses, it's the truth. I mean, about why we can't do this or why we can't do that, or we can freaking find a way to make it happen, and we can do things that, we may have to think outside the box, but we can find ways to address the problems and issues
Last question, then we'll get you out of here. Politically, though, I mean, like, how big of a deal is this? Do you think does it show up in the, I don't know, the election in a few years? Like, this has got to be something. You look at Alabama right now, and you look at, I mean, education's always there. Infrastructure's really kind of made a push. But I think, like, people just get fed up with crime, and I think this is going to be, like, a big, potentially a big campaign issue, but certainly it's going to be, like, one of the motivations of getting people out to the polls, and like, what Republicans have done since they've been in charge since 2010, I mean, things don't seem to be improving. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's the perception, at least.
And that's true in some areas, but I've also seen in some areas where they've actually absolutely made a difference, you know, and the old saying, presence in of law enforcement prevents crime, and that's an absolute fact. And, you know, it's a matter of making sure that your community is safe and seeing your officers. And, you know, if a bad guy's coming through your community and he's seeing your cops, seems like everywhere, then they're least likely to try to do a crime, a robbery or something in your community. But yeah, I absolutely think that it could come back in the election cycle. You know, I've seen it over my lifetime where, you know, the issues of the community, of the citizens always are brought forth in elections. And like you said, whether that's in the form of infrastructure, it's time we address some of our depleted roads, or whether it's crime, you know, whatever the concerns of the citizens, they will let you know. And, you know, the government, we are supposed to meet the needs of our communities and our citizens. And that changes from time to time. We live in a ever changing world in everything that we're doing, you know, so it is, you know, we've seen over the last, I guess, 4, 5, 6, 7 years where, you know, there's been a decline in law enforcement and you're not seeing as many applicants come in, and that's played a part. And that's, you know, that's one of the many parts I'm telling you about that come into these situations. But you've also seen where officers are prosecuted for everything, anything and everything, just to appease the community. Sometimes that's detrimental, because then the work product of the officers slow down because they're concerned or scared that they're going to get in trouble. So there's a balance to be found in all of this. You know, I applaud the DA in Montgomery County for what he's trying to do. I totally agree with that, and think that if they could, you know, come up with some way to make it stiffer on the bad guy, the ones, the bad actors, let's address them. And, you know, not just address them, let's address them soon, man. Some of these younger ones that are getting caught with guns and stuff, there's got to be a way to, that's out doing crimes with those guns, we've got to find a way to address them and deal with them sooner than later.
Representative, we always appreciate your time. We got to get out of here, but thanks for coming on again.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me. Y'all have a blessed day.
All right. State Representative Shane Stringer there. We are back. This is FM Talk 106.5.